Lesson 7 in creating loving ecosystems is understanding and developing techniques for recovery. There are many people on the planet who have developed a wide variety of very environmentally friendly techniques that assist the recovery of land and assist the recovery of entire ecosystems. Rather than cover all of these things in detail, in this particular presentation, what we wish to do is just summarize some of these principles and then also encourage you as the individual to develop some of these things of your own by understanding the basic principles of food, water, shelter for the primary recovery organisms. Some of the techniques include water flow and storage-based contouring, water management and collection and distribution, water health prevention of water health and prevention of water stagnation, shelter systems for the primary recovery organisms, beginning where such systems already are naturally occurring, creating locations of high fertility, either in or on top of the soil that's already present, understanding how water and nutrients migrate or flow due to elevation, not destroying systems that have already been started naturally, but rather assisting these systems to continue, not burning off, but using the material that is burnt for creation of systems. So rather than burning the material, using the material as a basis for the creation of systems, the food source for systems. Focus on watering, feeding and sheltering the system first. Then you can focus on feeding yourself, because then you'll have an abundance of things around you that will be able to feed yourself. Also focus on no maintenance work systems. Systems that support their own life without you having to do more work. It is no good creating a system that creates more work for you, because sooner or later you'll reach the point where you're working so much that you won't be able to sustain a larger system. We want to create systems that once we've created them, they are self-supporting. We can then go on and create another system, and eventually we can have hundreds of systems that surround us that are all self-supporting, that require no maintenance work. And as a result of that, they are all giving back to us without us having to supply the work for that. And most of these techniques can be scaled up or down according to the size of the area. So in a very, very large paddock, hundreds of acres, we may develop systems that take hundreds of meters or even go for kilometers long on the paddock. In our backyard at home, we may do very similar systems, but on a much, much smaller scale. We also need to take climate into consideration. In a cold climate, for example, generating heat and warmth is a primary part of creating shelter and keeping a food source over all parts of the year. We can use rocks and decaying matter, any material that would generate heat naturally, to generate heat and cause areas that do not get covered in ice or snow. If we have areas that generate heat, we'll also have plenty of water all year round. In a cold environment, often water is not available due to it being locked up as ice in the cold seasons. Obviously, if we're going to have abundance all year round, we need to have an abundance of water all year round. And the only way we can create this water is by having heat. And the only way we can do that naturally is by having, or one of the ways we can do that naturally is by having decaying matter that generates the heat naturally. We can manage and use the water for winter, having warm areas that do not freeze. And we can allow water to flow during summer because we do not want marshy conditions. So in a cold climate, it's very, very different to a hot climate. In a hot climate, you remember that shade and ground cover is very important, reduces evaporation and keeps water in the ground. We create conditions where organisms can retain moisture. so we want lots of shade or protection. We collect the water and retain it. When the water is available, we collect it and we retain it and store it and we use it as it becomes unavailable. We stop evaporation as much as possible. We prevent soil-based distribution and we prevent the soil-based distribution of water. In other words, we store water in the soil and have the water flow through under the ground, but we don't want all the water to flow away under the ground. So we need to have reservoirs of some kind that prevent soil-based distribution of water. This is where clay comes in handy. We create contours and swales that collect and retain the moisture. We plant plants that thrive and survive in harsh, low water-based conditions, and they will provide the system that can support other plants in time. We plant weeds, grasses that are naturally growing in the area, and these grasses and weeds will provide ground cover and that will improve the condition of the soil. And also, obviously, if it's a tropical or temperate environment, it will be different. Obviously, different conditions and locations require different methods. Water, food and shelter is abundant at different times of the year in a tropical environment. In the dry season, it's not available. In the wet season, it is. We want to create systems that provide a year-round solution to abundance of the three basic elements of water, food and shelter. So any system that we create will want to collect an abundance and store an abundance and use the abundance all year round. If we do not have an all-year-round solution, then abundance will only be available at certain times of the year, and that will restrict our ability to have a completely abundant system. In addition, we want to create microclimates, contours, swales, fertility locations like holes and mounds, ponds, shelters. These microclimates will provide support, will provide shelter for all sorts of living creatures that have intelligence to correct the problems in the ecosystem. Obviously, if we have sloping land or flat land, there will be different techniques that we will be using. On the sloping land, it is quite easy to maintain, collect and maintain the system. On flat land, the systems need to have a completely different design, and we need to use our intelligence designing the different systems that where we create recovery. So lesson 7 was that we need to understand and develop the techniques for recovery. We have not listed them all. There are many hundreds of techniques that can be discovered, many thousands of plants that can be discovered, many millions, in fact, probably, of plants that can be discovered and organisms that can be discovered that will support recovery. And what we need to do is we need to understand them, develop them, and experiment with them in our own location.